You're listening to the Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The currency.news. It pays to be curious.
Hello, you're listening to the Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo. Today we're talking about tech-driven reinvention and why it has become such a big issue for CEOs right now. PwC's latest CEO survey paints a really interesting picture. Confidence is under pressure. The external environment feels more complex than ever before. And at the same time, AI is moving incredibly fast. A lot of organizations are experimenting, but are they experimenting fast enough? To explore this, I'm delighted to be joined by Amy Ball, Business Model Reinvention Leader at PwC Ireland, and Kieran Little, Partner with Strategy and PwC Ireland. You're both very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us today.
Look, the two of you work really closely with leadership teams who are trying to navigate exactly these challenges. So I thought what would be good was today we'll talk about what reinvention really means. Amy, you're dealing with this all the time. Reinvention, it can be a cliche, businesses have to reinvent. But when you look at that, what are you seeing?
So in the past, we would have talked about transformation and business transformation enabled by technology. And that, as a proposition or a theory, is still very valid. But with the pace of change, you know, political uncertainty, post-COVID reaction, AI now at scale.
Which is everywhere.
It's prolific and, you know, we can talk about that later. But we're now moving into a phase where businesses actually need to reinvent themselves from front to back. So transformation might have focused in the past on the back office, maybe the middle office. Reinvention is now in the front office, looking at markets, looking at adjacencies, looking at revenue streams and thinking about where the next disruption is coming from.
So when we talk about reinvention, though, let's just boil it down for people who are just listening.
Yeah.
When you talk about reinvention, what do you mean?
It means how we operate in the market, what we sell, what prices we charge, what our competitive landscape looks like and how we operate in that competitive landscape, what our employees do, how they do it.
Okay. Kieran, I see you nodding away there. This is something you're doing day to day as well.
Absolutely. And we're seeing reinvention become more at the core and focus of where CEOs are looking to for the next 5 years. We're seeing from our CEO survey an increasing amount of focus on new markets, diversification, and that's both international and into new segments. But also then how technology changes the businesses that are in the businesses are in today, effectively. Yeah.
But so just say you're a business, you're a CEO, Kieran, and you're looking at this and you're seeing all the stuff about AI and all these issues. Like, what do they need to be thinking about or how do they need to gravitate towards that future?
Yeah, I think there's a fault line here and we would see it with our own clients and those in the markets. There's kind of two ways of taking this. Some are looking at it as, how do I take some cost out of the business? And we would see that as pretty short term, using the tools today or, you know, going with a faster horse to use the forward idea. But where we're getting to now is, where are CEOs looking to in the next 5 years to transform the business and transform their industry? And can they lift their heads up to look a little bit further and see how can they change how they communicate with their customers, what the proposition is, and how they then communicate that?
Yeah. And Amy, just when you're sitting down with CEOs all the time, is that message getting true? Is that value proposition getting true? And why is it now more relevant, I suppose, to CEOs?
Well, there's so much, you know, in the news now about AI. You know, we hear about new models being released practically on a weekly basis. I'm fortunate enough that I work very closely with tech companies, but I also work with small to medium-sized enterprises. And the tone at the top of the messages are different. The pressing demands are different. I would say the tech companies are living this. This is their business now. And they see that AI can enhance their revenue streams. It can make their products more sticky.
It can make their employees feel happier as well.
Oh, well, it takes all the drudgery out of their work. You know, we talk about busy work. There is quite a bit of busy work out there. But it isn't just that. It's now, what do those people focus on? And we always talk about building capacity for strategic activity, whether that's developing insights from the data that they can now gather, contributing to forward thinking on business and new new markets or just revenue in totality.
And I think on that, there's probably three big things for the companies that we see pulling ahead on the AI side. They're not just treating it as how do we make small alterations to the business. The first thing they're looking at is the governance framework that they're looking at for AI. The second is upskilling, right? So there's a people aspect to this. You can't just throw licenses of whatever the new technology is. You've got a whole transformation to go through with the people. And then the third is that the strategy for where they're going for the 5 years matches to that framework that they have for the rest of the organization.
I'm just going to bring you back to that second point about that transformation and make sure everyone's aligned.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really important piece of how are you looking at the workforce that you have today, the workforce that you're going to need in 5 years' time, how are those two things aligning over time, and then how are you bringing through change management, which means that people can not just use tools on a day-to-day, but think about their business in a new way. Yeah. And we're seeing it in our own business. I mean, a lot of the focus comes to headcount reductions, but in reality, we're looking at it. And if I look at the graduates that we've brought in the last year or two, some of them are the most savvy at using the tools and using the AI and seeing with our clients where the opportunities are for reinvention. So it's kind of a fresh thinking that comes to it.
Yeah. And look, we always grounded in responsible AI, making sure that as we work with companies that they're AI ready from a governance perspective, from a data security perspective, and that the right protocols are in place, you know, for whatever pilots they're using. But we're now talking to them about how to scale those pilots into an enterprise-wide.
Well, I think that's a great point, Amy. It's this issue between pilots and scale and how you develop from everyone's playing an expert, not everybody, but most companies, I think, they're playing, they're experimenting, they're seeing how they can use AI, everything else, but it's how you can bring it onto scale.
Yeah. And I think with the development of the models, it's helped. But I think the main point there is that the pilots helped people get comfortable, helped CEOs get a little bit more comfortable with deployment of AI within their ecosystem. But what we found is that some pilots never really went anywhere. They just became almost a pet project. However, they did help with that change in adoption journey that Ciarán referred to. So really, it helped people understand the potential, remove the fear factor or the anxiety.
I think that's a big thing though, isn't it? Just remove the fear. People are afraid.
Yeah, they are.
We all know we should be.
Change is hard. Change is hard,
I think you look at this one and you look at the waves of technology over the decades. Ireland has typically lagged in terms of its adoption. It doesn't matter whether it's...
And that comes across in the CEO survey that PwC have done.
It does. And look, true adoption is relatively low, right? CEOs would actually rate themselves generally globally and in Ireland as being low in terms of adoption overall. But Ireland's still about half the number that we would see globally. And the concern there is that industries are going to move so quickly here. Can you afford to, you know, have a half bet in some of these areas? And that's where we're seeing it. It really is taking a position and being able to have a strategy that takes a five-year view and invests in it right across the organization. I mean, and that's difficult.
Please go ahead and I'll come back. I'll back to Ciarán in a second, Dame, but go ahead.
We were just talking about this before, though, because we, you know, I think Irish CEOs have a lower risk appetite than their global peers. Like we found in our CEO survey that 9% of CEOs versus 24% at a global level are saying that their organization tolerates high risk. And there's still a perception that AI is risky. But it doesn't need to be.
Sorry, just to go off script and ask you, why do you think that is?
I really don't know the answer to it. I think some of it is to scale. And feeling that actually, you know, there's a loyalty to people. There's possibly a reluctance to invest because of the return on investment in the early years, that maybe there's a longer tail to that. And Ciarán's talking about a 5 year perspective on strategy. But I think that 5 years is compressing, you know, every cycle in business now we're seeing is moving faster. The timelines are more compressed and the speed to execute is faster with outcomes now.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of reasons for it. But I think in general, a lower entrepreneurial tolerance for risk. I mean, that is part of the corporate landscape of Ireland, I think, in general, as you come across these. So it's just something, and you'd have a concern of, do we get left behind on something that moves so quickly and is so global in terms of its impact?
Yeah, and I was reading through your CEO survey and the idea of mistakes and people are afraid to make a mistake. They go safe.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, you see that. I mean, I think the thing that we're looking at now, if we think about this of the perspective that those are making long-term decisions on AI, and where I'm seeing it is, you know, every transaction that's gone through where one company is buying another in the last year, a key appraisal has been, what is the impact for AI of this? And the answer, and that used to be, it was Brexit, and then it was tariffs, it was inflation, it was whatever the thing is of the day. At the moment, the assessment has to include what will happen to a potential target company in the next 5 years in terms of AI impact. And the view that international private equity, when they look at it, and when they're here in Ireland, is the change is going to happen anyway, right? There's no uncertainty about it. The answer, right, the right answer on AI at the moment is, I don't know. Right? And everyone's afraid to say, I don't know what the answer is. And you need to proceed with that uncertainty. And that's the real difficulty, right? When the answer is, I don't know, that is a very hard thing to have certainty and go to your employee base and go to the rest of your, you know, your market and your customers with.
But I think, Amy, that comes back to the point about short-term pressures.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, and I've seen it in your CEO survey there. Everyone's the next quarter, the next year.
Yes.
Kieran's talking about a five-year time horizon, which to a lot of people is quite difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And not every organization thinks 5 years ahead. They might work to their, you know, their Q1, Q2 forecast. But we are seeing, even with our grads and probably the digital natives that we've hired over the last 10 years, they are better at this than we are. And they're helping us reimagine how we deliver our services. And we now have pods of people within our organisation who are looking at our methodologies, infusing the methodologies with AI. And we're working now with our clients to say, we can actually fast track some of your transformation or reinvention initiatives, and we will guarantee an outcome on the back of it because we've proven it internally ourselves.
Yeah. And you are engaging on these things. I've been down to your lovely headquarters there just overlooking the Liffey, and I can see all of the operations, and you're really invested in this sort of AI transformation.
Every employee, every partner across the whole global organization has access to AI tools, and we are expected to use them in a safe way. And actually, I think it's really good to prove it in an organization like PwC, because if you think about our business, it's based on trust. So we are very mindful of safeguarding of client data, no cross-pollination of data for any sort of AI. Problem solving.
Yeah.
We can see the return. We can see the return on investment.
And do you think that's a big thing, Kieran? Just that, like, everyone knows we need to be going there. People are afraid because they can, am I going to get the money back? Am I spending money I shouldn't be doing? When you're sitting down with companies, which you do every day of the week.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is we're now coming to the stage where boards are looking at the CEO and saying, right, you told us last year about AI. What's the return on the investment we put through? And one, that's difficult to measure at this stage in some cases. But two, it's going to take some time for that to bed into some of the organizations. And we've seen that in our data. It's come through. It is going to take time. And the return that has come through both globally and in Ireland has been relatively small so far. But you can see those that are pulling ahead, and it's those who've embedded it more into the organization.
And actually, we have an interesting stat. So global CEOs, where they've established strong AI foundations, are 3 times more likely to report meaningful financial returns in the short term.
Really?
So there are proven structures and, you know, activation programs that can guarantee that the returns will be evident.
OK, I'm going to step back and ask a different question. So you sit down with a company for the first time or the second time, or someone comes into your offices, and like, how do you explain this journey to them? Because I think that's important for CEOs, particularly at a small and medium-sized enterprise.
Yes. So I'll start in a different place to Kieran, I would say. So I would always start in the delivery layer of the organization. So processes. So processes from an end-to-end perspective, companies need to identify and map them out, take out as much inefficiency as they can, and then look at AI, look at agents, because agents are very effective in terms of optimizing a process and supporting a human in actually delivering an output. And then you move from there into data, taking as much insights from the collation of all of your enterprise data, And then I'm going to hand over to Kieran because he's going to come up with the magic sauce on revenue generation.
Yeah, which is what people want.
Well, more interesting work and revenue at the end of it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of ours is looking to the external market and it's benchmarking. And everyone wants to know, what is everyone else in my industry doing? What are international peers doing? And it's trying to pick up on those ideas and that kind of cutting edge piece of what's the revenue change? What's the business model change around this? Yeah. And I think that's the key bit. But it's more external than the kind of process side.
Mm-hmm. And it isn't just about, you know, we've seen in the past where organizations have made massive investments in enterprise like ERP systems, but because change and adoption wasn't a focal point of the program, the technology wasn't optimized for its full capability. Now those enterprise systems have layered in AI to make it more user-friendly and probably create a bigger ecosystem so that you can manage some of the point processes around the system. And now we're seeing that at scale, you can actually transform the business model.
I'm really interested. You made the point there, Karen, about boards. Because obviously they're central to everything that goes on. You can have the CEO who wants to do what he wants, but obviously he has to get sign off. He or she has to get sign off from the board. Just to bring the board with you on these things to explain what companies are trying to do.
Yeah, it depending on the industry, right, it's hard, right? Because there's two pressures. One that's coming from a risk-averse view of how do I ensure trust, right? How do I ensure that this is belt and braces and what I'm doing is not creating a trust issue with the customer base, right, typically. So that's one angle, and that's a conservative one. The second one is those boards that are coming in and saying, you know, there's an echo chamber of noise that we're even contributing to here right now of this is happening, it's moving so fast, what are we doing to change and what are we seeing in terms of meaningful change? And it's being able to bring data back to those boards to show what the changes are and how they're doing.
A proof.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the difficulty at the moment is bringing the proof and having a euro sign beside it.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the risk of not doing it. You know, what if you look around, what's the adjacent industry that could come and start competing for your customers?
But there are challenges, Amy. Like, this is, like, we can talk about reinvention, but reinvention is a really big word.
It is, yeah.
And people can be frightened by it. So there's lots of challenges as well as the opportunities.
Yes. And that comes down to the tone from the board, the CEO, culture within an organization, support for people on change and adoption and investment in the right tools at the right time.
Yeah, it's that and then bringing the workforce and the people along with you on it, right? So that those changes are fully embedded and it's not just a rejection.
And I think the point, not to cut across you, Kieran, but the point is, like, people say, oh, AI, it's coming after my job. It's not.
No.
It can actually add to your job. It can add to your value. It can add to what you're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the cliche, right? It's higher value activity. But, you know, we're seeing it right across different industries. It's having a radical change in how people are doing their work and how they do their day to day. And I think that's happening with when you get up in the morning and what you do in your own daily life. Everyone is using AI. So you can see it drip into the day-to-day business cycle as well. Yeah. And it's, where does that end up? We're still at the very, very early stages of this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that I don't know factor to it.
Well, please go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say that it isn't, you know, about job losses. I think in the past, companies would have added to their headcount base as they scaled. So if they were moving into a new market, they'd employ more people. I think with AI, that will change because you could have a better engine to serve the needs of the company. Yeah. And that would be a mixture of your existing employee base with the aid of agents or AI.
I was reading through your CEO survey, which is really interesting. And anyone who hasn't read it should, because there's lots of easily digestible, you know, figures in there. But one of the things that came out of it was that a lot of CEOs, they talk a lot about experimentation with AI, but they're not really following through with it. And I'm just wondering why that is.
Well, it could come back to that short-term horizon perspective that some CEOs adopt. But also, there is you do need support from a dedicated technology team and a dedicated cybersecurity team to help you ensure that you're embedding AI in the right ways. And then you need to train people. And then you need to demonstrate the value. So it takes time, but it's time well spent.
Yeah, I think the pilot's approach will only get so far as well. I think those that get stuck in a cycle of pilots, and we see it all the time.
What do you mean by that? Sorry, do you mind if I ask? I think constantly trying things as opposed to implementing, is that?
Yeah, but trying and then underinvesting, right? We'll say we're doing something in an area, but we will give it so little investment or so little focus that it's kind of doomed to failure because it gets strangled for lack of oxygen of investment. And then where it's something that needs to be, you know, deployed at scale to get use out of it, it's hard to just keep it hived off in one area, right? So this might be, and it's gone back for lots of technologies, we'll buy 5 licenses for X, right? Yeah. And that has been there over the years. And whether it's a success or failure for those 5 people, it doesn't matter because it's just there in the corner and it's something a little bit quirky. Whereas it's very different from taking a long-term view of we will bet on this as a new way of working.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do need to identify those processes that are scaled across an organization. Like we've done it for onboarding in the HR space.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we've worked with organizations where they've focused on their sales organization and helped them, you know, with research tools, with customer engagement tools and faster cycle times and getting back to customers. And that is not just a productivity gain, but it's also, you know, an increased business stream as a result because the sales folks are getting out there faster.
Yeah. It strikes me just the scale and the level of advancement week on week, month on month, that it's hard for companies, I think, to keep up. And maybe that factors into the reluctance to invest all that money because it's changing so quickly.
I don't know if you're like me. I listen to podcasts a lot, you know, and read.
Well, we're doing one here now. Maybe, so.
I recommend The Currency. But yeah, I think people need to take personal responsibility to educate themselves and keep abreast of what's happening and realise that there is opportunity and more opportunity than challenge.
Yeah. I mean, it's a time for big bets. You can't sit on the fence on these. I think you have to pick those opportunities and bet large on them now over the coming year or two, I think, because otherwise the change is going to be so large. You're either going to be left behind or it's an opportunity missed to take a step ahead.
Okay, so there's a lot of CEOs, CFOs, COOs listening to this podcast. Your advice for them in a nutshell, if you're to get one message across. Amy, we'll start with you and I'll come to Kieran in a second. I'll give him a second to think about it. It's not your first time in this podcast, so don't worry.
I come from a background of finance, you know, working with CFOs where they'll always think about, well, what's a manageable target? And then I'll put a stretch on it. I think CEOs have to think big now. I think they have to think about the art of the possibility. And then they, you know, through their strategy, they need to chunk it down into, well, what can I scale quickly and where will I see the results and bake those outcomes into the P&L for the next 5 years, make it happen.
Yeah, I think there's two pieces of this. One, I think anybody that we're seeing that's doing this well or that I'm seeing them do it well, they're taking one, a conservative approach of properly looking across their business at risks. What are their peers doing? They've got a proper view on what's the cadence of change in cycle of technology and changes a business model in their own segments. And then the second is the time and the focus to actually lift the head up and take a longer term view to take those bets that I talked about.
Okay, well,
and I think in general, one of the difficulties, and it comes through in the CEO survey, and we would see this all the time, and it's with a lot of Irish businesses and a lot of the CEOs we would speak to, they don't actually have the time to think about that 5-year view. And it's back to Amy's thing of next quarter is important, next year is important.
It's a constant cycle, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a constant crisis to react to. But you have to just expect that there's going to be consistency to those crises and just bake it into your business cycle.
And that's where you guys come in. One hopes.
One hopes, yeah.
Amy and Kieran, listen, it's been a delight to chat to you both. So you've been listening to The Tech Agenda with PwC. I'm Ian Keogh, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh. Powered by PwC, thecurrency.news. It pays to be curious.